Hey friends, welcome to Unpolished but Called. I'm Catherine, just a regular woman trying to follow Jesus while still learning how to surrender without protesting the entire way. If faith had a settings menu, mine would probably be stuck on beginner mode. And maybe yours feels like that too. Today we're taking a deep breath together and talking about what it really looks like to trust God when control feels safer. So, whether you're listening on your commute, in your kitchen, or hiding from your responsibilities in the car for 5 extra minutes, you're in the right place. Let's walk this out together. Surrender is not my strong suit. If God handed out spiritual gifts like in those online quizzes where you find out which fast food item matches your personality, mine would definitely not come back as professional surrenderer. I would be the person who chooses trust fall in a team building exercise and immediately regrets my entire existence. Every instinct in me screams, nope, I'll stand here and hold my own weight. Thanks. The irony is, I've already proven repeatedly that I cannot hold my own weight. Not emotionally, not spiritually, not even with 2 cups of coffee and a to-do list professionally color-coded. We say we trust God, but most of us are still hanging on to the steering wheel like toddlers pretending they're driving daddy's truck. Meanwhile, God is just trying to make sure we don't run into a ditch. But we want control. We think we need control. If we're not in control, then anything could happen, and that's terrifying. Especially if you're like me and your life experience taught you that people are unreliable, and the only person who will show up for you is you. Except that isn't true anymore. Learning that has been a painfully beautiful process. Painful because letting go means you have to stop pretending. Beautiful because the moment you stop pretending, grace starts leading. But it's taken a while to get here. And by a while, I mean decades of trying to keep every part of my life taped together with panic, pride, and this spiritual equivalent of duct tape. There is a version of me that used to believe I would never need God. Not really. Maybe for the big stuff, like the world is falling apart and you need a last minute miracle. But the everyday things, the insecurities, the identity crisis, the gnawing fear people will eventually see through you and run. I thought those were mine to handle alone. I plastered on strength like mascara and it flaked the same way. The problem with pretending you've got it all together is that eventually your arms get tired. Your soul gets tired. Your brain gets tired of spinning lies, even you don't fully believe. And one day, when your guard is down and hope sneaks in, you realize control isn't working. Not even a little bit. That realization arrived for me slowly. Not with a dramatic come to Jesus moment where angels sang and I fell to my knees with theatrics and lighting. More like a gradual shift where pretending became too exhausting to maintain and vulnerability, the thing I feared the most, became less terrifying than the weight of acting fine. It was the moment God gently said, "You can stop now." And for the first time, I wondered if I could. The truth is, surrender looks like failure to people who have survived by performing competence. When you're the one everyone expects to be strong, handing that strength to God feels like you're being irresponsible, like you're dropping your own lifeline. But God isn't asking us to drop the lifeline. He's just asking us to realize He is the lifeline. And there's something sacred about realizing you've been white-knuckling your way through life long after your hands went numb. We become so good at survival that we forget survival is not the goal. Surrender is, and surrender is where peace lives. It's where hope begins. It's where joy takes root. But my brain was more comfortable in chaos than calm because chaos felt familiar. Calm felt foreign, like walking into a fancy restaurant where you don't know how to pronounce anything on the menu. Do I sit? Do I stand? Do I raise my pinky while drinking this water, like the classy Christians do? Peace made me uncomfortable at first. When life was falling apart, I felt like something, or when life wasn't falling apart, I felt like something must be wrong. But that's what trauma does, isn't it? It convinces us stability is suspicious. Like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, that we don't deserve rest, that if we stop managing everything, disaster will break through the door laughing at our optimism. It didn't help that I spent most of my life acting like emotions were a sign of weakness. Crying? Vulnerable. Admitting I need help? Vulnerable. Asking Jesus to take control? Very vulnerable. Vulnerability is like stepping onto a frozen lake without knowing if the ice will crack. Except here's the twist. The ice is God. It cannot crack. It cannot break. It carries you even when you don't trust it fully yet. For years, I believed if I let people see the real me, the anxious me, the wounded me, the messy me, they'd reject me. But God didn't flinch. He looked at all the cracks in my heart, called them an invitation. He didn't demand perfection. He asked for honesty. He asked for the walls to come down brick by brick, not in an explosive of self-confidence and overnight transformation. He just asked me to show up afraid and still hand him the keys. Jesus never said, "Come back when you fix yourself." He just said, "Come to me." No prerequisite, no application process, no upgrade required. He didn't tell the disciples to polish their resumes. He didn't ask Peter to get his temper under control before joining the team. Jesus invited the messiest people first, probably because they were the ones who knew they needed him the most. And that's comforting for those of us who are still figuring it out. Those of us who walk in a church and feel like everyone else has insider info. Those of us who fake confidence until we forget we're faking. Those of us who fight the urge to run, even when the Holy Spirit is clearly saying, stay. Surrender doesn't require understanding, just willingness. It's saying, Lord, I don't get it, but I trust you anyway. And trust is built in tiny, awkward moments, like showing up to church even though your fear screams it's safer to stay home. Like praying even when you're not sure what words to use. Like lifting your hands in worship when everything in you dreads being seen. It's admitting I can't do this alone anymore, which is both terrifying and freeing. Terrifying because that means letting go of the illusion of control. Freeing because illusions are heavy and reality, even messy reality, is lighter. I used to think surrender meant giving up. Now I see it means letting God hold what was never mine to carry. The more I try to control, the more anxious I become. The more I release, the more peace rises to the surface. Control is like sand. The tighter we grip it, the faster it escapes. But when we open our hands, God fills them with things we didn't even know we needed. I don't surrender perfectly, far from it. There are days I hand God my worries in prayer only to snatch them back 10 minutes later, like, never mind, Lord. I have trust issues. And he doesn't get angry. He smiles. He knows I'm learning. He knows my history. He knows the wounds that taught me to protect myself. And he gently reminds me that his plan is better than my panic. Surrender isn't instant. It is a journey in baby steps. And God celebrates every little step, even the clumsy ones, wobbly ones, especially the ones I take while muttering under my breath, "This better work, Jesus." Learning to surrender has felt like learning a new language after speaking fear fluently my entire life. Fear was my mother tongue. Anxiety was my accent. And control was my survival tool. It takes time to relearn how to breathe without bracing for impact. It takes time to trust that God isn't waiting to punch a misstep, and he's simply inviting us to walk a little closer. When I started following Jesus, I was shocked to find that faith involved so much sitting still, but not laziness. Not apathy, just stillness. Remaining, resting, letting God lead instead of sprinting ahead like a toddler with scissors. And trust me, I've spiritually sprinted with scissors more times than I want to admit. Stillness allows God to speak into the space where chaos once lived. But stillness can also feel like vulnerability. Especially to someone like me who has used busyness as a hiding place. When the world gets quiet, the heart gets loud, and emotions you shoved into storage start knocking on the door demanding attention. God doesn't open the door to embarrass you, he opens it to heal you. And bit by bit, I began realizing the walls I built to protect myself were actually keeping love out. I was so afraid of being hurt again that I had accidentally locked Jesus outside. And the wild thing is, he didn't break the door down. He patiently waited for me to turn the handle. He waited while I wrestled with doubt, while I negotiated my surrender like a hostage situation, and because love doesn't force itself. Surrender is not about weakness. Surrender is courage. And it takes courage to loosen your grip. Courage to trust what you cannot see. To believe that the God who holds galaxies together can also hold your personal chaos without judgment. It takes courage to. Courage doesn't mean fear. Disappears. It means you move forward while fear tries to convince you to stay stuck. There are parts of my story that still make my voice shake when I talk about them. I've lived through rejection that sunk deeper than I expected. I've tried to earn love from people who were never capable of giving it. I've placed my worth in the wrong hands and then wondered why it shattered. But that's what happens when we make people our savior. Humans aren't built to carry that kind of weight. But Jesus is. His love doesn't shift with mood swings or mistakes. His acceptance doesn't expire when we fail. The King of the universe chooses to love us, not because we're good, but because he is. That's what makes surrender possible. His love clears the fear that used to block the path. His grace paints over shame with colors of hope. Letting myself be loved by God has been the bravest decision of my life. Sometimes it feels like letting someone wash a wound you've kept covered for years. It stings when the bandage comes off. Healing can ache before it comforts. But every scar that once screamed, "Broken," it, now whispers, "Redeemed." Because God wastes nothing, not even the pain that once convinced us we were unlovable. Following Jesus doesn't magically erase the past, but it does redeem it. He takes what tried to destroy us and turns it into a testimony that can save someone else. That alone makes surrender worth it. There are days when trust feels easy and days when trust feels like climbing a mountain in flip-flops. I breathe deep, open my Bible, and remind my heart that faith isn't based on my feelings. Feelings are like the weather in Canada, unpredictable and overly dramatic. God, however, is steady. He remains. Sometimes, honestly, I still try to snatch back control. I convince myself I need a plan B, a backup escape route, a safety net in case God forgets the details. But he hasn't forgotten. He cannot forget his children. God remembers every tear I tried to hide, every prayer I mumble half-heartedly, every moment I lingered in his presence despite my doubts. He sees me learning. He sees me choosing faith even when my hands shake. Sees me fighting lies with scriptures I'm still learning to pronounce. And he delights in that obedience. The Holy Spirit has become like a gentle nudge inside my chest, a calming voice that says, breathe, you don't have to fix everything. And that alone has changed everything. I no longer have to carry the world on my shoulders because the one who built the world already carried the cross. Surrender is a daily decision, not once and done. Every morning we choose who leads. And some mornings my flesh wakes up ready to take back power like a toddler grabbing the remote. And that's when I pause. I remember who saved me. I remember who loves me and who sees the bigger picture. Faith is not about never feeling fear. It's about refusing to let fear drive. Fear can ride in the back seat if it must, but Jesus holds the wheel. I used to think control would save me. Now I see surrender was the rescue mission God planned long before I understood what I truly needed. He didn't save me from responsibility. He saved me from trying to be my own savior. And there's nothing weak about allowing God to lead. Strength is choosing surrender instead of self-sufficiency. Strength is knowing when to unclench your fists and trust that what God places in your open hands will be better than anything you try to force. And here's something beautiful. Surrender creates room for joy. Joy that isn't limited by circumstances. Joy that doesn't require everything to make sense. Joy that grows even in the dark because the light of the world is near. My journey with Jesus hasn't made me fearless. It has made me less afraid. Peace now visits places that used to be permanent war zones in my mind. Hope sits in the same seat where panic once called the shots. Grace now speaks louder than guilt. Surrender is still uncomfortable, but it is no longer impossible. Every step I take toward Jesus reminds me this walk is not about earning anything. It's about receiving everything he freely gives. Love, mercy, patience, belonging, security, a future. He gives what control never could. Trusting God is learning to live with open hands for blessings, for change, for healing, open for whatever God chooses next, because his way is better, always better. When the enemy whispers that surrender makes me foolish, I remember the cross. The Son of God surrendered everything so I could surrender something. My heart, my plans, my will, my illusion of safety. He laid his life down with love. I lay my life down with gratitude. God knows how deeply surrender stretches a soul, but he also knows what stands on the other side of it. Freedom, purpose, peace, a life not carried alone. We are not built to be our own savior, and we don't have to be. One of the hardest parts of surrender for me was accepting that I don't have to earn God's love. I grew up believing love was conditional. You had to be useful. You had to be quiet. You had to be strong. You had to be impressive enough, successful enough, good enough. Love always felt like something that could disappear if I messed up. Then Jesus stepped into my life and flipped the whole equation. He didn't love me because of who I was. He loved me because of who he is. His love isn't impressed by my strength or threatened by my weaknesses. It doesn't shrink when I fail or expand when I perform. It simply is. It stays. It holds. It remains. Trying to earn unconditional love is a contradiction, but that didn't stop me from trying. I would have turned righteousness into a chore chart if Jesus let me. Memorize more verses, sing louder during worship, volunteer every chance I get, act like I'm fine so no one sees the mess. The problem is, righteousness isn't built from behavior. It's given through belief. We are not loved because we are good. We are loved because God is good. That truth takes time to sink in, especially for those of us who spent a lifetime proving our worth. Surrender requires us to receive, and receiving can feel scarier than giving. When you receive, you lose control. You leave space for grace you can't repay. You allow yourself to be cared for without contributing anything but your humanness. I didn't know how to do that, not at first. It's uncomfortable to stand with open hands when you've always lived with clenched fists. It feels unnatural to rest when the world taught you rest is laziness. But Jesus didn't come to hand out spiritual participation trophies. He came to rescue the exhausted, the ones who are tired of white knuckling their way through life. He came for us. He came for those who don't know how to pray fancy prayers. He came for those who walk into church late, hoping no one notices. He came for those who have questions that would make theologians sweat. He came for those who lost trust and aren't sure if they'll ever get it back. He came for those who show up imperfect and stay imperfect but keep walking anyways. He came for people who find surrender unnatural but wake up every day thinking, Lord, I want to trust you while silently bracing for disappointment. And still, he stays. There's such gentleness in the way Jesus handles the hesitant heart. He doesn't rush us. He doesn't shame us. He doesn't give up when we fall back into old habits of self-preservation. He simply invites us closer again and again. Surrender isn't a one-and-done action. It's daily, sometimes hourly. It looks like choosing faith over fear in the small, ordinary moments that feel insignificant. It's trusting him with the bills, with the diagnosis, with the teenager who won't listen, with the unknown future that keeps us awake at night, with the past we can't rewrite and the present we can't predict. There are days I still struggle. I still clutch control like it's a life vest, while Jesus is standing there offering me an actual boat. I still try to handle the storms myself, even though I know how that ends. But Jesus doesn't walk away while I wrestle with doubt. He sits beside me in the chaos and says, "My peace remains even here." Even here, in the uncertainty, in the waiting, in the battle between fear and faith. Surrender doesn't silence fear instantly, but it does stop fear from making all the decisions. Maybe you've had a moment like I did, a moment when God shows up so clearly you can't ignore him anymore. Mine was the sermon on Genesis. Creation wasn't just a story in that moment, it was a revelation. God is intentional, he is creator. And if he sculpted galaxies with precision, then he also sculpted my life with a purpose. I had been too afraid to believe. God didn't create me to survive faith. He created me to thrive in it, to walk boldly, to trust deeply, to rest freely, and to let Him lead. That shift didn't make everything easy, but it made everything possible. I started letting go of the lies that had held me hostage for years. You're not worthy. Not true, God, though I was worth dying for. You'll just get hurt again. Maybe, but God heals what people break. You're too old to change. Moses started at 80. You don't belong. The cross says otherwise. Fear loves to make declarations it has no authority to make. Shame likes to pretend it has the final word. But grace is loud when we let it speak. There's freedom in surrender, real freedom, not the kind the world promises. The world promises freedom that feels like control, independence, self-built success. But that version of freedom is exhausting. It requires constant effort to maintain. God offers freedom that looks like open hands, trust, allowing yourself to be loved. We think surrender means losing. God says surrender means living, and living is exactly what Jesus calls us onto. Not surviving on scraps of hope, but feasting on abundance. Not performing for love, but resting in it. Not hiding who we really are, but walking forward as beloved children of a good father. So some days, surrender looks like praising God with confidence. Other days, it looks like whispering a shaky, Jesus, please help me. Both are worship, both are faith, and both move heaven. We were never meant to be self-sufficient. That was never the design. God made us to depend on Him, not because He wanted control, but because He knew we would break under the weight of trying to be our own savior. The cross is proof that surrender leads to victory. Jesus surrendered his life so he could secure ours. And now he invites us into the kind of life where peace doesn't depend on circumstances and love doesn't depend on performance. A life where we can finally stop pretending, refine, and simply be held. If you have ever looked in the mirror and thought, I should have it all together by now. You're in good company. And you're wrong. Jesus never asked you to get it together. He asked you to give it to Him. Every fear, every scar, every story you wish wasn't true. He can handle what we cannot. And He can carry what we try so desperately to hide. Trusting Him with that is surrender. Surrender isn't dramatic. It isn't always visible. It isn't always tear-filled or loud. Sometimes surrender is incredibly quiet, like a slow release of breath after holding it in for so long. Sometimes it's a silent prayer in the car, a whispered yes through clenched teeth, a moment of choosing to believe God is good even when life doesn't feel good. And hope grows in those moments. Because surrender is not my strong suit, but Jesus is. Every step I take with Jesus reminds me that surrender isn't a punishment. It's protection. I used to think God wanted control because He wanted to limit my freedom. And now I see He wants control because He wants to set me free from the things that limit me. There's a moment in every believer's journey when you realize that the thing you have been clinging to so tightly, that coping mechanism, that false identity, survival strategy, is the very thing keeping you from the life you're asking God for. And that moment is both heartbreaking and holy. Letting go can feel like losing, but if your hands are full of fear, you have no room to receive blessings. If your fists are clenched around anxiety, you cannot hold peace. Surrender opens our hands so God can fill them with what we actually need. And some days, surrender looks like trust. Other days, surrender looks like confession. There are still moments when I think, what if trusting God goes wrong? And Jesus lovingly responds, what if trusting me goes beautifully right? Surrender is a posture of possibility. When we lose our grip on the outcome, God can finally show us the miracle. When we allow ourselves to stop micromanaging his plan, he can reveal the blessings he had in store all along. When we stop trying to be the hero of our story, we start seeing the author at work. There's a peace that comes not from understanding the plan, but from knowing the planner and the one who holds the universe together is fully capable of holding us together too. If we could peek back and see the moments when God protected us, we would surrender more quickly. If we could see the countless disasters His grace redirected us, the heartbreaks He prevented, the opportunities He orchestrated, we would fall to our knees in awe and gratitude. But we don't get to see all that. Not yet. That's where trust steps in. Faith is not blind. Faith sees with a different set of eyes. Eyes that look at uncertainty and still believe God is working. Eyes that see weakness as a platform for divine strength. Eyes that see surrender not as defeat, but as direction towards the one who never leads us wrong. When I look back at who I was before Jesus transformed my life, I see someone who was exhausted, scared, and trying so hard to be enough. I thought control would keep me safe. I thought independence was strength. I thought vulnerability was foolish, and I thought surrender was impossible. But here I am, proof that surrender is not only possible, it is powerful. Not because I got stronger, but because I let God be strong for me. If you're listening today and thinking, I don't know how to surrender, guess what? You don't have to know how. You just have to want Jesus more than you want control. You just have to be willing to take a step. You just have to be honest enough to say, Lord, I can't do this without you. That's where surrender begins, not with certainty, but with honesty. Surrender hasn't made me perfect. Absolutely not. It hasn't erased every struggle. It hasn't magically sanitized my humanity. What it has done is given me a foundation where fear doesn't get to call the shots anymore. I may still shake sometimes, but I know where to stand. And friend, so do you. Even if your knees wobble, your heart trembles, if your voice quivers when you say yes, courage is not the absence of fear. It is saying yes while fear is still trying to talk you out of it. Jesus never asked us to never struggle. He just asked us not to surrender to the struggle. He asks us to surrender to Him. We will have days where we cling tightly again, days where old habits feel safer. Days where surrender feels like too much, but every time we choose him again, even if it's a whisper, heaven celebrates. Our surrender might feel small, but God sees the spiritual weight it carries. He sees what we release to trust him, and he honors it. There's joy to be found in giving God what already belongs to him. our hearts, our lives, fears, future. We were never meant to carry the world. We were meant to worship the one who does. And the one who does loves you more than you can comprehend. So if you hear anything today, please hear this. You are safe with Jesus. Safe to trust, try, fall, and get back up. To be unpolished while still being called. Surrender might not be our strong suit, but Jesus is strong enough for both of us. So thank you for being here with me, really. If you made it through this episode, that tells me you're hungry for hope. You're curious about what God might do with a heart like yours. And that curiosity, that hunger, that tiny yes inside you, it matters so much. You don't have to master surrender overnight. Just give God one piece at a time. Let him show you that trust grows and fear shrinks in the presence of his love. We're learning, stumbling, and showing up together. And Jesus is leading us every step of the way. So until next time, remember, you don't have to have it all together to fully belong to God. You just have to keep saying yes. I'm cheering you on, friend. And more importantly, so is Jesus.